Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. Restaurants have to make a ton of decisions on where and what to source for their menus. And what they decide can make a big difference on whether they are farm-driven or customer-driven in their approach. Suzanne Podheiser is a food writer for 7 Days, and she's here to explain it all to us. Suzanne, welcome back to the VPR Cafe.
Thank you, Rick.
For most people, if a restaurant serves locally grown stuff, they'd consider it a farm-to-table place. But it sounds like you categorize these restaurants even further.
Yeah, I do. One of the things that I think about is how the restaurants are making purchasing decisions, and I can kind of tell that by looking at menus, looking at websites, things of that nature. So there are some restaurants that are farm-to-table and are really trying to meet the needs of the people who come in the door and want to eat something. They're trying to keep it affordable, they're trying to keep it casual and quick, and they're also trying to buy local things. There are other restaurants that let the needs of the farmers kind of take a more prominent place in their choices. Those are the places that might buy an unusual ingredient that customers don't really know about in order to help the farmer move that ingredient out of its cooler.
If a restaurant is customer-driven, what does that look like?
A lot of times there are places that will ask farmers for a large amount of the same ingredient. For instance, you might have a spinach salad and you might want to get a delivery of spinach every single day. That's on the menu for 3 months. You're always ordering spinach. That's an example of a consumer-driven restaurant. You're printing a menu. You have the same things. People are comfortable with those things. You're asking the farmers to provide what it is you need to make those dishes for your customers. Another instance of that is being unable to take things that are seconds or that look imperfect. One of the best examples is chicken, right? As a chef, it makes the most sense to buy whole chickens. When you buy a whole chicken, you cut it into parts. You get to use the bones for stock. You make delicious soups out of it. You take the different pieces. You serve some drumsticks. You serve breasts. You've gotten the best bang for your buck. But when customers come in and they don't want to eat chicken legs, they don't want the skin, they don't want the bones, they prefer the white tender meat, then you end up buying boneless, skinless chicken breasts. That's a whole different thing for the farmer. Asking for, 12 chickens, that's one thing. Asking for 12 boneless, skinless chicken breasts is another thing. Where are those carcasses going? Where are those legs going?
At times, there's been this problem related to restaurants that advertise themselves as farm-to-table, but really aren't using much local stuff at all.
I think that's partly due to slippage. I think what happens is that a restaurant opens, it wants to do the right thing, it wants to support the local farms, starts off buying a bunch of stuff from those farms, realizes that it's not cost effective or the customers are asking for those boneless, skinless chicken breasts. And over time, they maybe buy a little bit less from those farms. Maybe they buy from a big distributor and it's kind of easier sometimes to get the salad greens that are from Massachusetts than the ones that are from Vermont. Maybe in the winter it's easier to get those from California. So over time, you've built yourself as a farm-to-table restaurant, but now your purchasing decisions are maybe not backing that up in the same way. I don't think anyone sets out to be deceitful, so I do think it's more of that kind of slow creep over time.
This is the VPR Cafe. I'm speaking with Suzanne Podheiser, a food writer for 7 Days. We're discussing farm-centric and customer-centric restaurants. Suzanne, we talked about those customer-driven places. Now, on the other side, we have farm-driven restaurants. Talk about that.
I think there's a much smaller number of these, but I think the ones that do exist are doing really interesting work. So what happens there is that a farmer has a list of things that they have available. And if they know the chef really well, they might even have a list of things they're having trouble selling to their regular consumers. For instance, when you slaughter a cow, you get lots of nice hamburger, which any chef is willing to buy. But you also get things like shanks, which come from the legs, and not everyone knows how to cook those. Most home cooks don't. So you want to sell that to a restaurant. So if you go to a restaurant and you say, I have a bunch of beef shank, and the restaurant says, yes, I'm going to put that on my menu, that's an example of being farm-centric.
How can I tell? I can't really just walk up to every chef and say, hey, chef, can you tell me about your food purchasing practices?
You can, but they might get cranky with you. I think the best way to tell is by examining the menu. If you see a menu that's got lots of these color pictures, it's in a plastic sleeve, it looks like it's been around for 3 or 4 months, or it even advertises that it's the summer menu or the winter menu, you know that the menu isn't changing that frequently. If a menu isn't changing that frequently, it's usually a signal that the restaurant is more driven by the consumer or by the market than it is by the farms. On the other hand, if you see a menu that's printed with a date stamped in the corner and it says today's date, it has things that you know to be completely seasonal right now. There's, you know, squash on that menu right now. There's kale on that menu. You might say, oh, okay, these are people who are buying the things that are available right now, that are available today from the farms in this area. That's the best way to tell, I think.
And why does it matter?
There are a couple of reasons. One's the economic reason. When there are restaurants that are farm-driven and they're buying those things that the farmers need to sell, it helps the farmers to do better. If the farmer can sell its ground beef to its retail customers, sell those beef shanks to its restaurant customers, it helps to stabilize that whole business, and thus it helps to stabilize the system. The second reason is educational. Restaurants are one of the places that consumers get informed about what's happening in the food system. If you haven't eaten beets before and you eat them at a restaurant and you like them, you might be willing to go purchase those yourself. If a server talks to you about the farm that the meat is coming from and you really like the meat, you might be willing to go out and buy that meat yourself. Between the economics and the education that are possible when you're running a farm-driven restaurant, there's a real opportunity to make some change.
But if the restaurants aren't giving consumers what they want, how are they going to survive?
That's the tricky question in the equation. There has to be some degree of pleasing the people who come in the door and spend their dollars with you. That is very important. If you can do that while educating those people about some of the local ingredients that are available, about some of the things that they might not know about some cooking techniques that can be applied to make something like celeriac taste incredible, then they're going to walk out of there with some new ideas. So I think the first part is kind of letting the consumer know that this is a choice. They can choose between a customer-driven farm-to-table restaurant or they can choose a farm-driven farm-to-table restaurant. When you give them the tools to know the difference, they can start to kind of make these decisions on a case-by-case basis. The other thing is at restaurants, most of them have Facebook pages, most of them have Instagram feeds, and they can use those to do some education about this issue behind the scenes. And they can also train their front-of-the-house staffers to talk about these topics, to help people make the choices while they're in the restaurant. So if you have a menu that has both, you have the boneless, skinless chicken breast, and you also have the roasted chicken leg, you can talk to the customers about why they might want to choose one or the other.
Suzanne Podhizer is a food writer for 7 Days. Thanks so much for joining us at the VPR Cafe.
Thank you.